And we start today, as we start every Friday, with the Federal News Countdown. Two experts in the world of the federal government. I'm losing my numbers. Choose the three news stories they think are most important to people who work for the federal government, and they rank them in order from number three to number one, and we count them down on the Federal News Countdown. This week, my experts are Mark Amtower, who is the host of Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, and rather than me trying to do it, plug your websites.
You can find me at federaldirect.net or governmentmarketmaster.com.
All right, and you are recognized as a government marketing guru, and I don't know if that's a fair term, do you think?
That's a fair term.
Okay.
Now, there's nobody who's been doing it longer, really, as a consultant than me.
All right. Well, I'm always glad to have you here, and look forward to your stories. They are interesting and thoughtful, as always. And my other expert this week is John Kaminsky of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Nice to see you, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate being invited back.
I wonder if we have plans for Memorial Day weekend.
My plan is to find my archives from 4.5 years ago when John was a guest on one of my early shows.
Okay. And I'm sure that you won't do anything having to do with Amtower on Memorial Day weekend.
I think I'm going to have my first barbecue for the season.
Fantastic. Well, enjoy that. And I hope we all enjoy the Federal News Countdown today. We start, of course, with
number three.
And Amtower's third most important federal news story of the week is from Government Computer News. And it might not look like a federal story on the surface of it, but there are a lot of implications here that you and I talked about before we went on the air. The headline is College Textbooks Go Online and Interactive. And it talks about the fact that there are a number of colleges, and now I'm starting to see reports, too, of high schools, where the textbooks are all on Kindles or similar devices that
e-books.
Are handed out to the kids instead of actual hard copy books.
Yeah.
Well, talk about what we were talking about before, which is the implication of this for government.
Well, first of all, Amazon announced last week, I think it's been fairly well known, that e-books have passed hard copy in sales through that particular platform.
Mm-hmm.
Not a major surprise to people in the publishing industry. I have three books out. Two of them are available in e-format, and if government marketed best practices was more recent, I'd put that out there too.
Mm-hmm.
But the simple fact that mobile devices are fully capable of providing you all the information you need is a great example of what's going on here. And you and I were both talking. Your mom and my mother-in-law use e-reading devices.
Mm-hmm.
We neither of us thought that would click. So this is a non-generational issue. These things are here. Distance learning is huge in government already.
Mm-hmm.
It is getting bigger. Travel budgets are squeezed. So the digestion of information in various digital formats is a massively growing thing. And frankly, I think it's simply a matter of time before we see e-proposals.
Mm-hmm. The implications are many there. But the distribution of information and the understanding of what the average rank-and-file citizen is thinking and how you serve that person is what I think, John, might be the element of this that's missing in government thinking.
Well, for example, the Government Accountability Office stopped printing reports several years ago,
mm-hmm.
and they only provide things electronically.
Mm-hmm.
And the IBM Center where I work, we've just moved to more of an electronic format that's compatible with mobile devices and
mm-hmm.
stuff. So this is something that's happening. What we're doing is we're trying to obviously serve the government market, and we think the government market's going there.
Yeah.
There's people in GSA that are focused solely on mobile devices, and the idea is how do you begin conveying information in a useful form,
mm-hmm.
much like that you would find in hard copy.
When Martha Doris was here a little while ago from GSA, she was talking about that. All of the publications, you know, the Pueblo, Colorado,
yeah.
the jingle and everything, all of that stuff is available now in e-format.
Yeah.
Which just makes a tremendous amount of sense. I mean, it's really meeting people where they are. And I wonder how far along other agencies are at understanding that same thing.
Well, one of the awards that just came out, the not mailing out the congressional record?
Federal Register.
Federal Register, yeah.
Yeah, that was
boom, right there.
Mm-hmm. Because you can get it as many copies
online.
As you want online.
Yeah.
And you don't have to store the stuff.
Well, and that's the part of it that I think is really fascinating, too, is the usually when we say unintended consequences, it's a negative connotation. That's one that until you mentioned it, I'd never thought of.
But this makes telecommuting far more appealing and possible.
Mm-hmm. Because all the information that you want that's usually lined up on a big bookshelf is that in the library at the office is available even as on a device as small as a phone. Mark Amtower, story number 3 on the countdown is headlined College Textbooks Go Online and Interactive. John, your number 3 story is a NextGov story with the headline OMB to cut 2 transparency programs and suspend others. And actually, I guess this is kind of the opposite of what we're talking about with the mobile devices, because there's information here that the government's at least collecting all in one place. It's not like the information's going away, but it is going to be a lot harder to go out and find it all the different places that it's being kept right now.
Well, back in the 2002 Act, the EGO Act, there was a fund that was set up that allows central funding of things that reach across government boundaries. And it was supposed to be like about $150 million fund by 2006. Well, it actually, I think, only peaked this past year at like about $35 million or something like that. And it's being cut 75% and to about $8 million. And so the things that have been under development or planned for a while, like a citizen services dashboard and this proposal to have FedSpace, a collaborative sort of like a version of the Facebook and stuff like that for federal employees to collaborate internally is put on the chopping block. And some of the other stuff like data.gov, the transparency stuff, is going to be pared back.
The idea that they kept as many of them going as they did, I guess, was what struck me about this. Because when you cut 75% of a budget, you figure, well, pretty much all this stuff's going to go away, I guess. I mean, and the idea, Vivek said they won't be able to update some of these sites, and that's understandable. But just the fact that they figured out a way to maneuver to keep these things open, I think, says something.
They did some scrambling because there's some real useful websites that are either internal to the government, like performance.gov is currently, or like the IT dashboard. I mean, the IT dashboard has led to $3 billion worth of savings. Mm-hmm. So there's some real value to these websites, and that they're able to keep them going means that there's some importance of it.
Do you think, Mark, they're doing a good job, though, of promoting these websites so that people know that all of this stuff is there?
No. I think they're doing a very poor job of the actual promoting outside of the Beltway. Inside the Beltway, we all know it's there. Outside the Beltway, most people don't. But what's two things that struck me about this. The first was every time you cut money, you should really hide the fact that you can find out information about it. So, you know, in case important programs go by the way, we don't want people actually finding out about these things. But the other point was exactly that. Outside the Beltway, people are not aware of what this means. They weren't aware that it was there beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
so most people, I guess, you think won't miss them because they didn't know they were there in the first place to know that they were going to get cut.
Outside of university communities, outside the Beltway, and the contracting clusters like the federal hub cities, the 28 or so cities with federal executive boards where there's sufficient contractors that actually do research, no, nobody knows.
John Kamensky's story number 3 is from NextGov. The headline is OMB to cut 2 transparency programs, suspend others. And you can find it linked up at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. We have all of our Federal News Countdown stories posted there, those selected by Mark Amtower and those selected by John Kamensky. And we will get to story number 2 from each when the Federal News Countdown continues on In-Depth with Francis Rose.
From text messages to apps, games and email, the mobile internet is becoming a bigger part of our lives every day. And whether we live in the city or on the open countryside, all Americans should benefit from mobile internet investment. That's why LightSquared is investing in the first nationwide wholesale-only 4G LTE mobile broadband network integrated with coast-to-coast satellite coverage. By partnering with wireless service providers, retailers, and device manufacturers, LightSquared is making seamless, ultra-fast mobile broadband a reality for every American. Send an email from the Grand Canyon. Download movies in minutes while on the go. Make calls hundreds of miles from the nearest cell tower. It's all possible with the Light Squared network. Light Squared, lighting the way to a wireless broadband revolution. Learn how Light Squared is creating jobs, encouraging innovation, and investing in vital American infrastructure at lightsquared.com.
There's no better way to study the world's best golf swings than to watch them side by side on the range. Move down the line from Arnold Palmer to Fred Couples to Phil Mickelson, and you notice not just the differences, but the similarities, like their wonderful balance, rhythm, and timing. And if you look closely as they leave, you'll notice something else they have in common. The same timepiece, a Rolex Day-Date. Available in 18-karat white or yellow gold or platinum, the Day-Date is put through 15 days and nights of the most grueling testing before it ever leaves Geneva. That ensures that, like these great golfers, it will perform as well in the real world as it does in practice. To see a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
The Federal Broadband Minute, provided by Hughes.
If your agency's communications network was tailored to your needs, what would it look like? Would your small and medium-sized field offices connect to the cloud and run applications with optimal bandwidth efficiency? Would your ideal network be cost-effective and able to leverage the benefits of GSA programs? Would it provide path-diverse communications that support COOP for the same price as your primary network service? And with your network, would you have confidence in secure connectivity, especially for teleworkers? Say yes to all these questions and meet the Government Field Office of the Future today from Hughes. With decades of experience and a comprehensive suite of solutions and partners, Hughes is able to deliver agencies a powerful national managed broadband service, providing voice, video, and data where, when, and how you need it.
To learn more, visit government.hughes.com/WFED.
Federal news and information just got more fun and interesting. Amy Morris joins Tom Temin on The Federal Drive, weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Tom and Amy tailor their show for Feds on the Go with usable information from trustworthy and seasoned journalists. You're going to learn, but they also might make you laugh. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's the Federal News Countdown this week with John Kamensky and Mark Amtower, and we're at
number two.
The second most important news story of the week is chosen by Amtower and by John Kamensky are very similar. Amtower, your number two story is from GovExec. The headline is Presidential Hopeful Would Freeze Federal Salaries and Reduce Retirement Benefits. And, John, your story is from Federal Times, the headline, 5% pay cut on the table, how increasing your retirement contribution would affect your pension. We're at a time, I'm going to get Mike in here later on in the program to talk about this because his column is about this today. We're at a time that I can't remember seeing more attacks, might be too strong of a word, but more shots being taken at the compensation package of federal employees. I don't recall anything like this in the time I've been paying attention.
I'd call it an attack.
Yeah.
I'd call it a blatant attack.
Is that fair?
Well, this is accumulation of a lot of different kinds of slaps at the federal worker.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting or ironic is that President Obama, when he took office, says, I want to make public service cool again, and that's certainly not the message that everybody else is sending.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he's the one that proposed the pay freeze.
Well, yeah, but that was in reaction to a lot of stuff that would have taken it a heck of a lot further. You know, he was proposing a two-year, certain other people were proposing 5 years. And it's all predicated on basically misinformation that federal employees are paid more than private sector counterparts. That's not an accurate statement. It just isn't.
Well, do we know that, though? I mean, there are so many there are so many surveys, there have been so many pieces written from all sides of this, and I'm not sure that we know even how to quantify. I mean, Director Barry said it a couple of times, we want to try to figure out exactly how we quantify that to be able to figure it out.
And that
in
conversation
the first place.
Of, gee, we want to figure out how to quantify, it's been going on for 15 years. And now that they haven't got something and others are coming up with numbers, it's hard to defend.
Where does this all stand? I mean, will this continue, or is there some kind of potential end game here, do you think?
Politicians will ride this as long as there's political capital to be had. And I used the former Governor Polenyi's presentation at Cato, where he got an A-plus for his fiscal rating as governor of Minnesota, as an example of please don't let facts impede my politics, because I rely on the Bureau of Labor Statistics to tell me who makes what in what category.
Mm-hmm.
It's a non-political body. It is purely statistical information, and they're saying point blank, feds do not outmake their counterparts, period. Now, if you're talking SES people, then you're talking upper management. Upper management and companies make more than SESers.
Mm-hmm.
The only ones who may make even par with industry would be appointees. You know, does the CEO of the United States make anywhere near what the CEO of Constellation Energy makes?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, it's not even close. That's true. What do you think when you see, like, your piece about the pension? It's technically not a 5% pay cut because your gross is not reduced,
right.
But your net certainly will be reduced,
yeah.
And so the effect is the same.
This was in the previous hour. Mark Causey had the author of this story,
mm-hmm.
Steve Losey, on to talk about this, and the thing is that. That defined benefit plans are shrinking all over the place. I think there's only like 3% of private sector companies that offer them anymore, and only 12% offer a combined defined benefit, defined contribution,
mm-hmm.
and which is equivalent to what FERS is. And what the proposal on the table is to increase the federal contribution to the defined benefits plan, because currently the federal government contributes $14 for every dollar that the employees contribute.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Steve's story says that in the private sector, it's much more generous than that. I don't know. I mean, because so many, such a small number of companies do that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So few of them exist. Yeah.
The concern that I've got, and it's linked to sort of the backstory that I shared with you, is the Washington Post story about how many feds and postal employees are eligible to retire. And 23% of federal employees today are already eligible to retire.
Mm-hmm.
That's 550,000 people. And last year, about 50,000 retired. Typically, about 100,000 retire. But if 500,000 suddenly say, look, I'm not getting I've got a pay freeze. I can't get bonuses. They want to take money away from me in my retirement. And if all these things accumulate to where people say, you know, maybe this is the time to take my retirement. You know, you can't just replace people easily. And this is the story that's been going on for years, but it's only become evident this past year about the FAA's air traffic control. It takes 4 years to train somebody.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have enough people. And there's that are trained, and they're putting junior people in major airports. And so there haven't been accidents, thank God, but these close misses and errors are increasing rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
And this will happen in a lot of other functions in government that people just seem to take for granted that it's going to operate normally. But it takes a lot of skill to run a lot of the operations in the federal government.
It's the same deal in the acquisition workforce.
Yeah.
Everybody says it takes 5 years for somebody between hire date.
It takes a long time to get an 1102 up to speed.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've ever looked at the acquisition regulations, and they have to look at them every day,
yeah.
It's pretty convoluted, and it's big.
Well, there was an article I read earlier today about some study that went through the FAR and counted up the number of times it says the acquisition officer shall, and there were 1,500 instances where it was a positive requirement that an acquisition officer had to do something before they could act on
it. That'd be a heck of a tablet to take down from the mountain, wouldn't it? 1,500 of them.
Well, we have a bill tracker on federalnewsradio.com where we have a list of all of the legislation that impacts pay and benefits for federal employees. And I can't even count them up quickly on the air because it looks just, I'm going to take a guess that there's 25 or 30 on there of varying possibilities and varying progress in either side of the House or Senate. But it's not just the volume. It's, as Mike writes in his column, as both of these articles that you've chosen to talk about, it's some of the specific provisions that are kind of beyond. When the pay freeze happened, I got a sense that most federal employees said, you know what, we don't really care for this, but we'll do it, and we're not going to complain about it because we want to show we're willing to do our part.
Right.
But this is what we consider doing our part. And to go beyond this then would be a bit much, and now we're getting to the bit much part is what it seems like to me.
Well, Pawlenty's only one person from one party, so when more people announce, I think you shall see a number of other hopefuls from the Tea Party, especially pummeling federal employees, because it seems to be a whipping boy.
Here's what I don't understand about that mentality, and here's something that I don't understand why somebody, whether it's union groups or OPM or somebody, whoever's appropriate, hasn't done something about this. You know, when I want to get, when I go to the dentist, I don't just pick the cheapest person. I want an expert to do that job. I don't let the person that changes the tires on my car pull my tooth. I want somebody who's an expert at that job. And the federal government's full of experts in particular areas of expertise. And we don't want some of these things done. We don't want national security done by somebody who doesn't have a lot of experience doing it. We want veterans, and they cost money. And I'm not sure. And when I say veterans, I don't mean necessarily out of the military. Somebody who's very experienced at it. Yeah. I don't want somebody in the tower at the airport who hasn't had the proper training and experience, and that costs money. I don't know why nobody has really undertaken that, the other side of what Pawlenty's talking about, and made the case to people that we can talk about size and we can talk about scope, but as far as the people go, we don't want to do things that encourage skilled, experienced people to leave.
Well, you know, it reminds me of the first political debate I ever saw. Mac Mathias was running against the incumbent, Jack Foley, in Maryland. My father, I was about 8 or 9 years old. My father took me to debate, and Foley's one of these old line Democrats, one of the loudest human beings I think I've ever seen in public. And Mac was this sane, calculating, you know, easy talking guy. And I'm going, gee, Dad, who'd ever vote for the quiet guy? You know, how do you compete against the volume?
Yeah, well, I guess you just have to turn your own volume up, and we haven't seen that yet.
No, haven't.
AmTower, your story number two is from GovExec. The headline is Presidential Hopeful Would Freeze Federal Salaries, Reduce Retirement Benefits. And, John, your story is from the Fed Times, 5% pay cut on the table, how increasing your retirement contribution would affect your pension. When we come back, let's talk some more about these stories, since they're both your number two stories, and because there are other elements of this that we haven't gotten to yet. We'll get to them when the Federal News Countdown continues on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Eric.
The 8-year sentence for Omar Khadr will stand. He's the youngest detainee at the Guantanamo Bay detention facility. He was taken there when he was 15 in 2002. Last October, he pleaded guilty to murder charges for throwing a grenade that killed a U.S. soldier in Afghanistan. A military jury at the base recommended a 40-year sentence, but a pretrial agreement limited him to no more than 8 years. Yesterday, the Pentagon upheld that 8-year sentence. I'm J.J. Green.
A concern of every pilot is the weather, and needing to know if the conditions are about to deteriorate, either on the flight path or where the aircraft is landing. That's where AirInc comes in. At the aircrew's request, AirInc texts the latest weather information directly to the cockpit, thus providing pilots the information they need to decide whether to change routes or divert to another landing location. For more information and career opportunities, log on to arinc.com.
While the wheel was being invented, prehistoric man probably took a snack break. And today, we still grab a little something-something to tide us over when we're on the job. Something sweet or salty or fatty. Unfortunately, those snacks often end up lowering our energy level. And a poor diet can increase our weight while decreasing our ability to work effectively. At Kaiser Permanente, we just think the work snack needs updating. Say, fruit bowls and veggie plates at meetings, or putting local choices in the vending machines, even lunchtime trips to local farmers markets. It's total health thinking. That's what Kaiser Permanente does for employers that choose us. Provides tools for companies to keep employees healthy and productive. Find out how a Kaiser Permanente plan can help your employees and your business thrive. Go to kp.org/thrive9to5.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. CDWG, the people who get it.
Nano, or very small, materials are finding their way into products from cosmetics to medicines. Are we ready for them in our food? Nanotechnology might allow more control over how our bodies use food, says Rod Hill of the University of Idaho.
These are materials that a physicist can make or an engineer can make, and the scale that they make those materials at, this nanoscale, is almost identical to the scale of the molecules that occur in our bodies.
Hill says tiny structures might be designed to hold on to certain food chemicals that provide taste but little nutrition, letting them just pass through your body.
You could actually get the same flavor sensation, but with a whole lot less of that stuff that's actually bad for you.
Hill says much more research is needed, though, to determine both the best way to make such products and any health implications. To find out more, go to nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Do you want to know how to manage stress, do more with less, work well with your political boss, protect your professional liability? If you're a senior executive or an SES candidate, you can't afford to miss Managing Smarter, the Senior Executives Association annual conference. Join former Representative Tom Davis, political pundit Norm Ornstein, and other speakers on June 16th at the Grand Hyatt Washington. For a complete agenda and to register, visit the SEA website, www.seniorexecs.org.
Wake up and drive in with Tom Temin and Amy Morris on the Federal Drive. It's your early line on the day ahead from your trusted advisors. Tom and Amy give you a full view of the issues. Find out what your colleagues in other agencies are up to and what policy and congressional developments mean to you. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We're talking about the number two stories of the week as chosen by Mark Amtower and John Kaminsky on the Federal News Countdown. And they are both concerning pay and benefits for federal employees, and you can read the stories at federalnewsradio.com. All the stories we're counting down on the show this week are available there. We were talking during the break about our bill tracker. I mentioned it a few minutes ago, and it's on the homepage at federalnewsradio.com. There are... I would have figured at this point in time that there would be at least a couple of pieces of legislation, even if they were intended as nothing more than statements by members of Congress who support federal employees, something to say, listen, you haven't been lost in all of this. Not everything that's going to come out of Congress is intended to bash you. John, you said during the break you can't legislate respect, and that's true, and that may be the element that's missing here. But I'm trying to get a handle on why there is not anybody in Congress who's willing to stand up for federal employees to the extent that they will put legislation out there with their name on it. I'm not saying that Congressman Connolly, Congressman Wolf, Senators Warner, Webb, Mikulski, Cardin don't support federal employees. That's not true. But there's no bills that any of them or any of the other members in this area,
guy from Montgomery County,
Van Hollen, have put out. The closest thing that I've seen recently is the bill that Congressman Sarbanes from Anne Arundel County and Senator Mikulski have proposed to cut out A76 competitions. Mm-hmm. That's as and then that's as far as pay and benefits and respect for federal employees. That's pretty tangential, you have to say. I wonder why that is, and I wonder if you have any thoughts about why that is.
The only thing I can come up with is that there is, after the loss of the Kennedy seat in Massachusetts, there's no such thing as a safe seat. This is viewed as a pretty volatile issue right now.
Well, I think Van Hollen's pretty close. I mean, he has one of the highest, if not the highest, concentration of federal employees in his district.
Yeah.
Maybe Congressman Connolly has more than Congressman Van Hollen does. But I can't imagine a scenario where he could lose. I mean, the registration in his district, I know this because I live there,
one would assume,
is overwhelmingly in his favor.
Yeah.
So,
but there's other things that are sort of looming out there that are more significant, and it's not in the symbolic range. For example, the Postal Service has to make a payment to the retirement fund for its employees September 30th of $5.5 billion, and they don't have it.
Yeah.
And, you know, do you fight for something like that, or do you, you know, deal with these bills that are largely symbolic? And I think that, you know, that's where the attention needs to be, is how do you deal with things that are real?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is not going to go away anytime soon, and we continue to track these bills on federalnewsradio.com. And Mike Causey is writing about this stuff all the time and talking about it on Your Turn. That's the program that was on that you were listening to on the way. It's nice to know that you're listening on your way in. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
We have all the Your Turn programs archived at federalnewsradio.com as well. And we have all the stories that we're talking about on the countdown, the number two story from Amtower and the number two story from John Kamensky. And that, of course, means that we're up to number one, and we will talk about their number one stories of the week when the Federal News Countdown continues on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
NBC News Radio, I'm Pete Williams. As the Memorial Day weekend begins, regular gasoline is now $3.81 a gallon, with prices slipping steadily the past 2 weeks. NBC's Jeff Rosen says holiday getaways are expected to be up this year.
Nearly 35 million Americans will travel this Memorial Day weekend, nearly 31 million of them by car.
On the economy, the number of people who signed contracts to buy homes dropped in April. CNBC's Diana Olick says it fell to the lowest level in 7 months.
It was down over 11% in April. Now, April is the height of the spring housing market, so we thought we were going to get a bump up.
Secretary of State Clinton is in Pakistan talking to civilian and military leaders. She says relations with the U.S. are at a turning point and calls for Pakistan to do more to fight terrorism. As for Memorial Day weather, good for beaches in the south and east, but the Rockies and Sierra Nevadas will celebrate the traditional start of summer with snow in the forecast. Aspen is reopening ski trails for the weekend. More at MSNBC.com. Pete Williams, NBC News Radio.
How's it going? My name is Stacy and I work at Lowe's. Get a jump on your summer to-do list with unbeatable savings. Right now, choose 18-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more when you use your Lowe's consumer credit card. Plus, come in and get 15% off Energy Star appliances or 10% off all other major appliances priced $397 or more. Start your summer with savings this weekend at Lowe's. Lowe's, let's build something together. Offers valid 5/26/11 to 5/30/11. Special financing cannot be combined with 5% off everyday credit offer. See store for details.
Hot dogs, buns, paper plates, icy cold Coke, relish for Aunt Sue, napkins, lots of napkins. Julie Gertz is having a Memorial Day barbecue, so she ran to Walgreens to pick up all the goods. With no lines and great parking, she was in and out in a flash. Now until May 28th at Walgreens, get four Coke 12 packs for just $14. Then fire up the grill. Simplify your shopping. With Walgreens, there's a way. Offer not valid in Alaska or San Francisco, California.
The FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com takes a look at the issues surrounding cloud computing through the eyes of those who are using it every day. We'll share with you the challenges, opportunities, and lessons learned from some of the top minds in the world of federal IT. Collaborate with others and help shape the discussion on cloud computing at the FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com or follow the FedCloud blog on Twitter. The FedCloud blog is sponsored by Cisco and Intel.
Don't miss the FPMI Human Capital Management Conference and Expo, June 13th through 16th in Tucson. After 22 years, FPMI has combined their Labor and Employee Relations Conference with their HR and EEO Conference to bring you one conference covering today's hot topics in the federal LR, ER, HR, and EEO fields. Over 70 sessions led by government leaders and industry experts. Join FPMI for 3 days of learning, networking, and exhibits. To register, visit FPMIconferences.com. That's FPMIconferences.com.
You want to win government business, but so do your competitors. How do you gain the competitive edge? By using Dell Tech's solutions to identify the right opportunities, assemble the right teams, and capture the right contracts. Only Dell Tech provides access to the nation's largest government opportunity database, essential market intelligence, and top teaming partners. Visit DellTech.com/gov to see why 98 of the top 100 contractors win more with Dell Tech. Dell Tech. No more, do more.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive.
John Blum is the Deputy Administrator and Director of the Center for Medicare.
To reduce waste, fraud, and abuse is to correct the payment policies that encourage fraudsters to provide services. So, for example, we have historically paid for hospital beds and wheelchairs way inflated rates, and that has encouraged a lot of bad actors to come into the program, a lot of fraud. So it's a process of paying at market prevailing rates to ensure that we create the correct incentives.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It is the Federal News Countdown, and we're up to
number one.
The most important federal news story of the week, as chosen by Mark Amtower, is a government contractor client alert from a company that I was not familiar with.
It's a law firm.
We have it linked up at federalnewsradio.com. But this is about women-owned small businesses and contracting opportunities. Why do you think this is such a big deal, Mark?
Well, I think it's a big deal because it's a long time coming. You know, I was the first and only guy at the Women in Technology organizational meeting back in like 93 or 94. I've been hopefully supportive of women's business in government for a while now. Just did a show with Women in Technology a couple weeks back. But in point of fact, women-owned businesses have been ignored as part of the small and disadvantaged community for quite some time. And this is the first legitimate pass at including them in that arena. It has a number of the same restrictions that make it fall into a an economically disadvantaged or just generally a small woman-owned enterprise. There's certain economic restrictions and certain criteria that have to apply. But it's just been a long time coming, and I get a lot of my news from newsletters like the one put out by Ken Brody and his law firm.
The law firm is David Brody and Dondershine, and the website is dbd-law.com. It's linked up at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. What has taken so long for this, do you think?
Congressional inaction. Gee, that's never happened before. people not just taking the issue very seriously.
Yeah.
You know, I've been monitoring this for a long time. The first WIT president, Valerie Perlowitz, was number one, a woman-owned small business person, took this down to Richmond a number of years ago, the issue down to Richmond a number of years ago, and got them to recognize it before the feds. But it's just one of those issues. It's not sexy enough to get attention in the right circles unless you stay with it. And obviously, who's ever been working this issue has been pushing it for a long, long time.
What's finally driving it now?
I'm not sure. Maybe all of the action over the, or the lot of the verbal action over the past couple of years about small businesses in general, and you know, a lot of the transparency things, is are the 23% set aside goals being met? Not usually. So this was a good time just to include this in that mix. It mm-hmm. deserves to be included in the mix, and it finally is.
The story's posted at federalnewsradio.com. It's a PDF file, and this this wasn't the only thing that was meaty in this, I thought. And so I recommend it to folks who haven't seen it yet. It has to do with women-owned small businesses looking for an increase in federal contracting opportunities. It's mm-hmm. Ann Tower's number one story of the week on the Federal News Countdown, and that means we are up to John Kamensky's top story of the week. We'll talk about that next on the Federal News Countdown on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, who takes blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price, $21 a month.
Call 1-800-500-0351 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-500-0351. 1-800-500-0351. Or go to selectquote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
It's the only program of its kind in the world. A unique opportunity to help strengthen our country's defense and further your career. The National Defense Executive MBA at George Mason University's School of Management. The only executive MBA degree tailored to developing leaders and managers in the U.S. defense industry. A unique combination of high-caliber executive business education, defense industry-specific knowledge, and hands-on learning designed to accelerate your career in the military, government, and corporate defense sectors. All without the career interruption of a traditional degree. Learn more at som.gmu.edu/defense. That's som.gmu.edu/defense. Do it today, because the last day to apply for the fall semester is July 15th. The National Defense Executive MBA at George Mason University, helping our country's defense, advancing your career.
Attention employees of the intelligence community and Department of Defense. Right now, you could be eligible for affordable term life insurance from GEBA, the Government Employees Benefit Association, with coverage issued by Prudential. Learn more about this important benefit for government employees at GEBA.com or call 1-800-826-1126. Group term life coverage for GEBA is issued by the Prudential Insurance Company of America, 751 Broad Street, Newark, New Jersey, 07102, contract series 83500.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything. Boys, school, clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If it were real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
I'd probably talk to him about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's the Federal News Countdown. And this week, my experts counting down the stories. The most important federal news stories of the week are John Kamensky of the IBM Center for the Business of Government, and Mark Amtower, who is the host of Amtower Off-Center every Monday on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and always online at federalnewsradio.com. And John, your number one story of the week is from the Federal Times. The headline is, Treasury raids your pension, but don't worry, Geithner says. Now, I have to confess, when I saw this was your choice, and I saw the headline, I was a little bit uneasy because I went through all of this with Tom Trabucco from the TSP and with Mike Causey and then with some listeners who emailed in and said, why are they taking my money out of the G Fund? Why? And I had to go through the whole thing. That's not what's happening here at all. It doesn't have anything to do with removing any money that's already there in the thrift savings plan. And people are made whole, and there's a whole bunch of black helicopters and tin hats out there. And I guess it's understandable because it's people's nest eggs, it's retirement, it's money, and people get a little bit worked up about it.
Well, I wasn't worked up about it until and I've got stuff in the G Fund from when I was in the government.
Right.
But last week I was in some forum and was just talking with somebody that was from Treasury.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm pulling all my money out of the G Fund. He says, I don't trust them.
Oh,
and
man.
So if you have federal employees that are in the Treasury Department that feel like there's something going on in the bigger gestalt that they don't want to trust that it's going to be repaid, it's irrational.
It's tremendously irrational.
But that gives a sense of the angst that's going on in the federal population these days.
That's really amazing. I mean, that's mind-blowing.
Yeah. But the thing is that the story is they're sort of borrowing on the books from the G Fund. They can borrow, like, there's about $214 billion that sort of gives them additional headroom. But then I was something earlier this week with some folks from GAO that had done a story that was called Debt Limit, Delays Create Debt Management Challenges and Increase Uncertainty in the Treasury Market. And I thought, well, that's not a very interesting title. Then I started reading the report and got a little panic. Basically, this has happened before, this, you know, borrowing against doing this book shuffling for the debt limit. But when you postpone an auction, which are regularly scheduled,
mm-hmm.
when people want to, you know, they cash in or their treasury bonds mature, and they want to roll them over into a new treasury bond, and then they can't because the treasury's not lending anymore, because
mm-hmm.
it's not allowed to or not allowed to borrow anymore. Then what happens is they invest it somewhere else, or the rates jack up the next time the treasury goes to the market,
mm-hmm.
and so that increases treasury's borrowing cost. I think each auction GAO was looking at historically, like about $75 to $100 million each time they go to auction. That is an enormous cost for people playing chicken with, you know, pension funds and stuff like that. So there's this sense, and then the story that CBO came out with, what was it, last week, that even though the government shut down and there was all this cuts and stuff, that ultimately the federal government wound up spending $3 billion more or appropriating $3 billion more as opposed to actual cuts,
mm-hmm.
there's something going on that just has this unreal feeling to it of employees feeling like they can't trust the political leaders, that the political leaders think they're cutting and it's actually increasing, that they're trying to force a decision, but it's costing, you know, $75 to $100 million
mm-hmm.
to force this decision. So there's something going on that's really, I think people outside the Beltway would say, how can you run a business like this?
Well, I think people outside the Beltway have been saying that for a long time.
Yeah.
But some of the things that you're talking about, I'm still stunned by the fact that a Treasury employee is saying, I don't trust the G Fund, and so I will remove my money and do what with it?
No, they can transfer. No, they can transfer it to the stock fund, but that they would trust
the stock market more than the G Fund. Amazing to me.
That's insane.
But the thing is there are solutions. GAO in its report said, if you're going to have this debt limit thing,
mm-hmm.
why are you unlinking it from the decisions to raise spending or cut taxes or something? So it should be a joint decision, so
right.
that each year when you pass the budget, you also deal with the debt ceiling. They said, in fact, that's what happened when they did the stimulus bill.
Mm-hmm.
If you pass a bill, a budget.
Eventually, maybe.
But this notion of making decisions jointly so that you're thinking about the bigger picture, and GIO's report on that, and it would save money.
I'm still back on the Treasury employee.
Yeah.
That floors me.
Well, you know, the only thing that bothered me about this story was the headline that the Federal Times put on it, which kind of exacerbates the situation.
Yeah.
Treasury raids your pension. hyphen.
Which is.
But don't worry, yeah, says yeah, guy. Yeah, well, yeah. Do I trust a presidential appointee? Not usually.
What I'm reading, though, when I read down, and what I hear from being told by Tom Trabucco at the Thrift Savings Plan is that that's not really accurate, that they're not
right.
going in. Nobody's going to go into, John, your G-Fund
right,
account
exactly.
and take out X number of dollars that are there and say, we'll pay you back later.
Yeah.
We'll get you. That's not what's happening at all.
No.
And that's what people like the person you talk to at the Treasury Department think is happening.
Yes.
Where is that perception coming from, and why isn't anybody addressing it directly?
Read articles like this.
Well, right.
Like
but, but it's got to get into the brains of somebody for the story to be yeah. covered first.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair to Sean Riley yeah. at the Federal Times, he's not making it up. He's reporting on what yeah. people are thinking.
Well, Sean also doesn't write the headlines.
Yeah.
That's true,
yeah.
too. So that's it's not just it's not being made up out of yeah. whole cloth. Employees are thinking this, and I don't know where they're getting it, because that's exactly the nature of the same kind of the emails that I got. When this first started yeah. to come out, is why are they borrowing my, I want, don't touch my money. Nobody's touching your money, mm-hmm. sir. If you don't get that, then maybe you shouldn't be in the G fund, but nobody's touching your money. They can't do it. They're not legally allowed to do
yeah.
it. So I'm apologize for being speechless, but it doesn't make great radio,
yeah.
I guess,
yeah.
but that just stuns me, John. That's where we have to leave it. We're almost out of time. It's a terrific Federal News Countdown, as always. John, your number one story is from the Federal Times. The headline is Treasury Raids Your Pension, But Don't Worry, Geithner Says. And as we've already discussed, I think we all maybe disagree a touch with that headline, but it's posted nonetheless at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And thanks to both of you, gentlemen, Mark Amtower and John Kamensky, for being on the show today. It's great to have you, as always.
Always a pleasure.
The program continues in just moments on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. When we come back on In Depth, you want to make sure your agency's getting the right input from the right places, and you'll find out how DOD's doing it when In Depth continues on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.